Hey, look at somebody you didn't come with and tell them, God in you looks good. Go ahead and be seated if you'd like. The men of valor will be putting notes in your hand in just a moment so you can follow along. And the passage that Brother Ken was sharing with you earlier about God giving. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that you, having all sufficiency in everything, may have an abundance for every good deed. Yes. That's God's work in you. That's His harvest that He brings into you because you cooperate with His plan. As it is written, He scattereth abroad, He gave to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Amen. You can read past that too quickly. But there are a lot of people who were never born again. They got saved. And you ask them, I'd say, well, I repented of my sins and asked Jesus to forgive me. The only problem with that is when you just get saved, every time you fall into trouble, you got to go back again and repent of your evil deeds and ask Him to forgive you again. But if you recognize that righteousness is a gift of God that He gives to those who come under His lordship, when you make Him Lord of your life, His righteousness endures forever. It doesn't endure till the next shucky darn. It doesn't endure till the next time you lose your temper. It doesn't endure till the next time you get jealous and throw a hissy fit. I know nobody in here ever threw one of those, but in case you run across one of the rare animals that do. When you read Corinthians chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, it said, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, something changes, because when you confess that He is Lord, Lord means that He is ruler over your past, your present, your future. When you come under His lordship, then His grace is a gift to you. For by grace are you saved through faith. And your faith is in the fact that He changes not, that He is ever the same. And His righteousness becomes a gift to you. So that every time I mess up, I don't have to go running to Him. I just say, thank you, Daddy, that I am under your righteousness, and your righteousness endures forever. It's not about me and what I did. It's about you and what you did for me. Amen. Some people don't recognize the difference in being saved and being born again. But a born-again person doesn't add Jesus to their lifestyle. They surrender their lifestyle to His lordship and let Him cover their health, their wealth, their joy, their peace. Abiding in His righteousness gives you a new outlook on life, a new way of facing problems, and it disarms the devil who wants to sit on your shoulder and tell you what you did wrong. It doesn't matter what I did wrong, it's what He did right that fixed it. But Pastor, that's too easy. Well, then go back to carrying the burden yourself. But I cast my care over on Him, and I like living in His enduring righteousness, knowing that no matter what comes or what goes, He'll never leave me nor forsake me. That He has received me as His own, and because I am His, I get His reputation, and it is a whole lot better than mine ever was. A view to prosper. I can say this boldly and without fear of contradiction. 2017 will be the best, most prosperous year you've had in the last decade. We see what God has already begun to do for our nation in the political arena. The God of miracles is still working miracles. But it's not just what's saying in the political arena. It's flowing over into the financial. It's flowing over into the economic realm. It's flowing over into every realm. I had a minister contact me this week, and he said, when I heard them talking about Jesus in the inauguration and giving glory to God, he said, something changed in the spirit realm for me. And I said, it changed in the spirit realm for everybody that'll receive it. Instead of having a president who says, we don't say Merry Christmas or God bless you or any of those things, we got one now that says everybody should say it twice. God can prosper a nation that exalts his name. But did you notice the economic downturn began when we began to take God out of everything? Today's message, a view to prosper. And I want you to read these lines carefully. There's double spacing to give you room to write between the lines what God is speaking to you out of what I'm saying. Because I've prayed about this message and asked God to give you wisdom and knowledge and understanding in the word that goes forth today. And my hope is that you hear more than I say. That something I say triggers the Spirit of God in you, and you have more than I ever gave you. It should be that way, that when I bring you the Word, God adds to it, and you walk away with more than I said. A person's view on life determines what they will receive. One of the hardest things to deal with in life is a pessimist. Another hard thing to deal with is somebody who sees the bad side of everything. I continually enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Wherever I go, I find wealth. I may find a penny or I may find a 20. But I find continually money. I find silver. I find gold. I'll pick up a broken earring or a broken bracelet or necklace that I see laying on the ground. I pick it up, I throw it in the gold drawer, and pretty soon I've got enough to make a new ring or I have a new bracelet made. And that's a gift of God. But some people would not be able to get it. Well, I don't know. They lost it. If I pick it up, I might lose it too. I love to be around people who are happy. Have you noticed it's a real bummer to be around people who are always negative and seeing problems no matter what? They're miserable, and they make everybody around them miserable. And they don't understand why you can't enjoy their misery. Some people get a raise at work and they begin to shout and celebrate and give thanks to God. Someone else goes, I got to get to my account and find out how much this is going to affect my taxes. Oh, shut up, fool. We don't want to listen to you. The way you see things determines what you will receive in life. Do you see the good in everything? Or do you always look for the dark cloud that fills the silver lining? I'd rather concentrate on the silver lining than the dark cloud. How you see things determines their ability to bless you or to curse you. Because two people receive the same thing, and to one it's a blessing and to the other it's a curse. Oh no, now it's going to kick me into a higher tax bracket. I love higher tax brackets. I remember when I became a part of the top 2% of wage earners in the nation. I didn't go, oh no, do you know how much I have to pay in taxes? I said, I enjoy being in the top 2%. Amen. It's a distinction that you've arrived at a place that most people, that 98% never arrive at. Yes, there's a heavier tax bracket. But the same God who prospered me to get to there will prosper me to pay the taxes. Amen. For example, when you see the following verse, do you think offering time or opportunity for harvest time? I know it's a popular scripture at offering time, but child of God, this is an entrance into the blessings of the Lord. And it's not just about offerings. If I give, no matter what it is, every month I spend time corresponding with prisoners in jail. Every month I send support to prisoners in jail. And people go, that's such a waste. No. I found a verse of scripture that says, you visited me while I was in prison. And if God took time to point out that that's a good deal, then I will take time to write letters to prisoners. And I will send support to them. And I will pray for them. And I will hope they get it right this time. You have so much to give. Not just finances. A kind word. A warm handshake. One of the hardest things for you to give is your time to listen to someone else. There are a lot of people that need to have someone to listen to them. And sometimes it's hard to listen to them because you're going, if you could just hear yourself. But maybe by you being there for them to get it out in the open, they will hear themselves. Amen. Give of everything that you are at every opportunity you have. And it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. They will pour into your lap. If you understand the Word of God, God just made you a promise. But like every promise of God, it has to be laid hold of. You've got to tell God, Father, I thank you that you promised me that as I give, it's given unto me. So whatever I give, my time, my energy, my love, my prayers, my finances, it's coming back to me in fullness. For by your standard of measure, that's an interesting turn of phrase, by your standard of measure. Do you measure it worth your time to talk to some people? Do you measure it worth your time to volunteer and help people? You see, if you are so high and exalted that people are wasting your time, then you're going to have trouble getting it coming back to you because you won't give them your time. You won't give them your efforts, your energies, your experience. For by your standard of measure, Daddy God, this is valuable to me and I'm giving it to them. Whether it's my time or my finances, my knowledge, my understanding, my hard knocks that I got along the road with what they're about to face, it's going to be measured to you in return. I find it amazing that from his most useful time of recorded history at the age of 12 in the temple. He was giving of himself. He was giving of himself. And it was being given back to him in good measure. I have found that the more I give of myself in counseling, in prayer, in time, in commitment, and I agree with you, there are times you don't feel like it. There'll be times that I'll be impressed of God to call someone. And my standard of measure can get in the way because I can say, God, I've got so much to do. And they probably don't want to hear from me anyway. But if God impresses you to call someone, in that moment, you got to change your standard of measure to willing obedience so God can give it back to you. From the very beginning, Lou and I determined to be givers. And determining to be givers, we've been taken advantage of a lot. But you know what? It comes back on every wave. My time is not my time. Every bit of time you have belongs to God. God gave you a measure of time, 120 years, if you honor your mother and your father. And he said, by honoring them, I would have long life. So if 120 years is what God mandated as the lifespan of a human, how much more should I have? But Pastor, I thought man's lifespan was 70 years. No, David said during times of obedience that the children of Israel were dying at 70. But God said our days was 120. Do I want to put my faith in David or in the Lord God Almighty? I plan on having more than 120 years. But Pastor Jim, what if you die before then? I've already died three times and come back, so what difference does it make? I haven't got it right yet, so I guess I'll just keep living. That dying thing is kind of transitory to me. Been there, done that, don't even care to wear the t-shirt. But I found the faithfulness of God in life, in death, in sickness, in health, in every situation. I found myself lacking to the point that we couldn't afford to buy gas or groceries, living in a borrowed house because we had lost everything. We'd gone from a beautiful home, seven Cadillacs, gun collection, jewelry collection, all kinds of things, lost it all. Didn't mean anything. We got it back before long because our God was faithful. So I found when I didn't have, and you know the story, I got down to feeling sorry for myself. God, we've given it all for the ministry. And it'll wake you up when God goes, who asked you to? And you stop and go, God, I was enjoying that moment there. Feeling sorry for myself. And he said, your confession will rule you. And I began right then, every time I would pray over a meal, every time I would pray, I would include, Father, I thank you that you do exceeding abundant above and beyond all that I can ask or comprehend. And sometimes we literally waited for someone to knock on the door so we had something to eat. But within a matter of time, I deposited $70,000 in 1 month in my account, and I've never looked back. Because if you will give God rightful place in your life, He will take you to places you can't believe. The other night, Lou and I was looking. We've loaned money to a lot of people, and a lot of people owe us money, and we were looking at it, and we said, we could buy a new house for what people owe us right now. Well, Pastor, what if they don't pay you? Daddy will. He will always get it back to you. My Bible says, and my God shall supply all of your need. If you're a giver and a tither, He said, my God will supply all your need. Well, Pastor, aren't you concerned about the economy? Not a bit. The economy could go kaput, and I would still be blessed. Because I learned in the hard time, what I confess and what I decree rules me, not what the economy is doing. So bad economy, good economy, growth spurts, growth decline, high gas prices, it doesn't matter. Someone asked me once, what are you going to do if gas gets to $5 a gallon? I said, I'm going to fill up. Because the price of gas doesn't determine where I'm going. My God supplies all of my need. What's the difference in God supplying it at $1 a gallon or at $5 a gallon? It's still just money. I want you to approach this year with that kind of attitude. There isn't anything I can't afford. There isn't anything I can't do. I enjoy the good life. The devil would like to tell you, you can't afford. No, there's not anything you can't afford as long as you don't allow it to own you. Corrie Ten Boom said that she had learned to hold everything in an open hand so God didn't have to pry her fingers off of it when it was time to give it away. If you hold everything in an open hand before God, He'll continually increase you and abound towards you, mentally, spiritually, physically, financially. Make your standard giving. Don't let your standard be receiving. How long has it been since you've had a lap full of blessed return? Then today, stake your claim to it. Daddy God, I'm a tither, I'm a giver. You said if I was, that they would pour into my lap. I determined that in 2017, I have an appointment with lap full blessing. Do you have that appointment? If you can read your Bible, Ethel, you've got an appointment this year with lap full blessings. Amen. Now, some of us might need to lose a few pounds so there's more room in our lap. But this principle is true in many areas, not just in finances, but in growing in God. Because this year, as you grow financially, I want you to grow spiritually in comprehension and understanding. Because the more you understand about God and His ways, the more you can accomplish. If you don't know what God has promised you, you're not waiting in that line. Take care of what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you. I've sat in church when men and women of God were sharing the word of truth and see people sitting there texting, making out their grocery list. You know what their standard of measure was? My time is more important than this. When you're in God's presence, in God's house, God's word is being ministered, there's nothing more important than that. Well, what if I get an emergency phone call? If you left your phone on, you've already told God that He's not number one. Well, what if an emergency arises? Is God bigger than that emergency? If you're giving God place, He'll take care of that emergency for you. It hurts my heart to see people passing notes, texting, drawing, doodling, while the word is going forth, because their measure has just precluded their ability to receive more from God. When God is sharing His wisdom through whomever, shut down, open up, and receive. It shall be measured to you, and more shall be given you besides. For whoever has something of God, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have something of God, even what he has shall be taken from him. Every person has something of God. You can be at the wildest, most hedonistic concert and start talking about God, and you'll find many people there who have a little knowledge of God. You announce that you're going to pray, and you'll notice people, you know, they may have a beer in both hands, but they'll bow their head. They'll check before they bow their head to make sure they're not going to spill any. But they have something of God, but even that little bit that they have can be taken from them because they don't want any more. God hunger will propel you to greatness. Because the more of God you want, the more ability God has to use you, and He will bring you before great men and women because His word is in you and you're sharing it. This year, some of you are going to be blessed financially in ways that are beyond anything you've ever known. Amen. What measure will you use when that happens? I remember R.W. Bouncing Bob Shambach telling the story of he was pastoring in Pennsylvania, and there was a man in the church that wanted to prosper in business, and he came and asked Brother Shambach to pray with him for his business, and they prayed together, and he just began to get bigger and bigger and bigger contracts. And one day he came in and said, "Brother Shambach, I just can't write this check. The tithe on this deal that I just completed is more than I used to make. And I just can't write that check." Brother Shambach said, he paused a second and he said, then he stuck out his hand and said, "Here, brother, let me take my hand and I'll pray with you that God bring you back down to where you can honor Him." And the guy pulled his hand back like, if you have the wrong system of measure. I remember when Lou and I got to the point that our tithe was more than what we used to make. and had to write those checks out. No, we got to write those checks out.
Amen.
And God continued to bless and continued to bless and increase. The way we see things determines what we will receive or fail to receive. In this year, your time will not be too important to share with others. Your love will not be so limited that you can't express it to others. Your faith will not be so stressed that you cannot extend it to others. In 2017, you're going to have more opportunities to give than you ever had before. Because the more you have, the more responsibility you'll have in giving. I am excited about flood tide overtaking you. And if you just had a thought, that'll never happen to me, you just cut yourself off from a blessing. Because God did not identify a group of people who were worthy. He said, whosoever will. So the impetus is on you. Are you willing to be blessed to the point of overflow this year? Are you willing in that overflow to bless others? Cast your bread on the surface of the waters and you will find it after many days. Now I know some translations have deviated from this original message and they'll say, send your grain and your crops to other ports and it'll come back. That's not what it says. It said, cast your bread upon the water. Now, it doesn't matter whether you're talking about leavened bread or unleavened bread or greenbacks. But throughout the scripture, God uses humanity and water together. Before the great throne, there is a glass sea, and that sea is people. Transparent people who have been washed in the blood, and there's nothing hidden in them. Many of you could come up with multiple scriptures that relate to water and people. So cast your bread on the surface of the waters. Distribute it freely with people. And you'll find it coming back to you after many days. The problem with some Christians is they want to see it coming back before they turn loose of this. God, if you'll show me how that works, well, I'll go ahead and turn loose of this. No. You cast your bread. You spread abroad and you share with others. Your time, your love, your energy, your understanding, your finances. And it will come back to you. We used to sing a song, cast your bread upon the water. You got to keep on casting your bread upon the water. And it'll return on every wave. But if you're a stingy giver, who you give now and wait until you get a return before you ever give again, you've bound God from blessing you. Because you've limited God to what you can see and touch and feel, and there's no faith in it. And God honors faith. What does it take to cast your bread or your possessions upon the water of people? You got to have vision from the Word that this really works. I've got to see it working because God said it works. Then I've got to have faith that it works because God fails not. And if He said it, I can trust it. And I've got to have a submission to truth. Father, I'm not giving this for what I get back. I'm giving it because it is your will for my life. I give my time. I give my love. I give my energy. I give my grace. I give forgiveness. I give my finances. Because in submission to your word, I know that if I do it because you said do it, there is a return. A giver sees the world differently. Givers are always optimistic. There's a verse of Scripture that says, God loves a cheerful giver. And as I was growing up, it was almost a cliche in churches. They would say, God loves a cheerful giver, but he'll take it from an old grouch. No, he won't. God doesn't receive that offering. God defines in the word many reasons for which he will not receive an offering. If you've got aught against a brother, if you've been abusing your wife, there's all kinds of reasons why God won't receive your gift. But it says God loves a cheerful giver because they're like the farmer who doesn't say, now, if I put this seed in the ground, I won't have this seed anymore. The farmer can't wait to get that seed in the ground because he knows when I get that one seed in the ground, I'm going to have a multitude coming back because of that one seed. How many oak trees are in an acre? Unfathomable if you just keep replanting. God loves a cheerful giver because you're giving your time knowing, God, you're going to make more time for me because I gave some away. God, you're going to make more energy for me because I gave some away. You're going to make more money for me because I gave some away. They see the return, not just a seed. When you look at your seed, can you see a harvest? No matter what it is you're giving. When you learn the joy of being a giver, the joy is in doing it because God said to. But it's also in the fact that because God said do it, he has guaranteed your return. I pastor the wealthiest people in the wealthiest church the world has ever seen. And I will continue to decree that over you until it is fully manifest. Now, if we have to drag you screaming and complaining into financial abundance and health and wealth, so be it. But taste and see that the Lord is good. Set your heart right now for 2017. This is my year. This year I abound and prosper. This year I'm going to walk in God's abundance, mentally, spiritually, physically, financially. And then begin to position yourself. Become so cognizant that when you sit down, you think, Daddy, is this the time you're going to fill my lap? I'll sit here a little longer just in case they're delayed in getting it to me. Pastor, you're being facetious now. Not really. You've got to practice God's presence. You've got to practice receiving so you're ready for it when it comes. A lot of people miss their blessing because they can't identify with it. That's too big. That's too much. That's what other people get, not me. No, no, no. This year, I have an appointment with lap full blessing. And David, I'm going to draw in so my lap has got more room. But if God said give and it would be given unto me, I'm expecting lap full blessings. But sometimes you have to determine what you're going after. Because God can't give you the desire of your heart if there's no desire in it. What is it you desire from God? then if you really desire it, begin to visualize yourself with it. So you can get used to what it's like to have it, so when it comes by, you don't miss it. And that pertains to what you want mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, maritally, in every realm of your life. If all of your vision is on what you don't have, on who hurt you, on what you lost, on what you went through, you're a loser waiting for a place to display. And you will display it sooner or later. And then you'll wonder why people don't want to be around you. People don't like to share your grief. Everybody likes to share your blessing. Can you see yourself blessed beyond measure? Then get ready, because this is your year. See yourself, picture yourself, lay hold of it. You can go there if you will. Daddy God, we've shared your word, delivered your message. I lift this people before you and decree, they are the blessed of the Lord, and whom the Lord has blessed, none can curse. I cancel every assignment of darkness against anyone under the sound of my voice, and decree, lying spirits of darkness, you can't touch them. You can't have them. You cannot torment them. You cannot steal from them. You cannot cheat them. They are the blessed of the Lord, and no curse shall stand in their lives. But in everything, blessings are overtaking them. And on every wave, Daddy God, you're returning unto them your fullness and your promised abundance. And the people said,
Amen.
If you desire prayer in any arena, there will be ministers here to pray with you, mentally, spiritually, financially, to set themselves in agreement with the Word of God on which you're taking your stand. If you desire prayer for anything, come and let them pray with you. If not, God bless you. We'll see you later.